Be helpful if you had your Bibles open at 1 Samuel chapter 16 as we look at this passage from verse 14 tonight. In more and more homes, you more often than not now hear the words, "Hey Google," or "Alexa," or "Siri." And I hope I haven't triggered some of your devices just by saying those words now. But for those who don't have one or haven't heard of this before, it's a smart device with a little speaker that sits in the corner of your room, and you can ask it questions and it will give you information back from the internet. But most people actually use it to play music, and they might say, "Hey Google, play some relaxing music," or "Alexa, play the greatest hits of the 90s, or "Siri, play some soul music." But sadly, many people think that the answer to their problems, the problem of their soul, is actually by turning to music, turning to other outlets. They think that music will help to lift their mood, and yes, it may lift them out of a moment, but it is not a lasting situation. It will not bring lasting peace. See, tonight we're going to see that a spiritual problem needs a spiritual solution. A couple of weeks ago, we heard about Saul being rejected finally by the Lord as his king. He would, though, still remain on the throne for some time over Israel. But God was preparing to raise up a man after his own heart, and we heard last week of how David was unexpectedly chosen as that king. But in this passage tonight, we see the first time that these two men have been brought together. We're seeing them side by side in this passage. And here we see a real stark contrast between them, particularly in relation to the Spirit of the Lord. And so the first thing I want to look at tonight is a spiritual dilemma. Whenever there's a new prime minister, a new government being put in the UK, quite often the TV cameras will have a picture of the old regime coming out of Number 10 Downing Street. And then they will show a picture of the new one going in through the same door. There's a change of power shown in that moment. Or think about when there's a new Chancellor of the Exchequer, maybe it's even more clear there as they hand over that famous red briefcase from one to another. There's a transfer of power between the old and the new. We see an even greater transfer of power between verses 13 and 14. Because as the Spirit of the Lord rushes on David, it's said here in verse 14 that it departs from Saul. But what's going on here in relation to the Spirit? Some people read this today and they see this as a dilemma because they think, well, God's taking away Saul's salvation here. And they're concerned then about their own life because they think, well, you know, I've disobeyed God's word. I have done things that are wrong. Maybe I'm in danger of losing my status as being a child of God. Well, that's certainly not the case, and that's not what's happening here. Because salvation is a work of the Lord, and it says the Lord sends the Holy Spirit to regenerate a sinner, that they're given that new life, and they respond in faith and repentance. And when God does that work in your life, there is no going back. It can't be taken away because those who God has begun that spiritual work will bring it to completion in that final day. See, what is happening here with Saul is not related to his salvation because although the Spirit of the Lord came upon Saul after he was anointed, there was no evidence that this man was actually converted or came to saving faith. And we've touched on that in previous weeks. Because he continued to disobey God's word. There was never any sign of genuine repentance or turning back to the Lord. Now you see, when the Spirit was coming on Saul, it was more like it was in the days of judgment or the judges when the Spirit came on the likes of Gideon or Samson. They were equipped for a certain purpose at that time in leadership of God's people. And so the likes of Saul here was able to prophesy in chapter 10, or he was able to gather the army and then defeat the Ammonites in chapter 11 because the Spirit of the Lord came on him. But sadly, even though Saul had experienced something of God's great power in his life, there was no evidence that his life had actually truly been changed. There was no evidence of a heart change. And so in his rejection, the Spirit of the Lord departs from one anointing king and comes on to another anointed king. Saul is left powerless in this moment. He has to try now and rule on his own strength, his own effort, because the Spirit of the Lord has been removed from him. But I wonder, do we see and realize how serious this actually is? Do we realize how tragic it would be if we were left without the work of the Holy Spirit, both in our lives and in the work of the church body as a whole? Because you see, we must rely on and depend on the Holy Spirit to work and move with power. Because you see, within the church, for example, we could have all the greatest attractive programs of the day going on. We could have really impressive music. We could have well-polished sermons going out every week. But if the Holy Spirit is not at work, if the Holy Spirit is not in it, then it's all for nothing. It will not bring about any good for the kingdom. And so we must, as a church, continue to pray that God would move by His Spirit in the life of the church and in our own lives personally. So the Lord's Spirit being removed from Saul is a big deal. It's a big dilemma here. But it actually gets worse than that. Look at verse 14. It continues to say, a harmful spirit from the Lord tormented him. This verse has been the cause of a serious dilemma for many people who read this, especially because some translations say that it was an evil spirit, that God sent an evil spirit. And that raises questions in people's minds as to, well, how can God send something evil? Or how can He cause torment even on someone like Saul here? Doesn't sound like a good God to me. It doesn't sound like someone who's loving or kind. But we need to be careful as we look at this, because it's not exactly clear what the Spirit is referring to here. Yes, it could be something evil, like a demon being sent to harm Saul in this time. But even if that was the case, it doesn't mean that God commits evil or that God is the one who is approving of evil. 1 John 1 says, God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. God is perfect. He is holy. He is without sin. But yet we must remember that God is sovereign over all. And He is able to direct that which is evil for His good purposes. He knows the reason why He does what He does. Think about how God used the Babylonians to bring judgment on Israel as they were then sent out into exile. Or think about how God used sinful people, wicked people, to crucify Jesus on that cross. See, God used these things to bring about His purposes. But another thought on this phrase is that it's better translated as harmful or an injurious spirit. And so that could be a way of describing what happens within Saul here when the Spirit of the Lord is removed from him. Because you see, without the Lord's presence, without His restraining grace on Saul's life, then it was opened up to all sorts of sin and opened up to all sort of torment that came from that. Like, the specifics are not entirely clear here. But what we can see and what is clear is that under His sovereign control, God brought about a form of torment and affliction on Saul because he rebelled and he had rejected the Lord. See, it shows us that there are consequences for sin and rebellion against a holy and just God. And with Saul, this has been shown in all sorts of anguish and torment that is clearly even seen by his servants around him. This was a big deal in Saul's life. There was something really drastic going on here. But as we hear this tonight, there's also a warning for us A warning of the eternal torment and anguish that is awaiting for all who have rejected God. That anguish and torment of hell is a reality for all who are without Christ and all who don't have the Spirit of God in them. That will be much worse than anything that Saul is facing in this moment we're reading about here tonight. And so it is urgent that if you are in that spiritual dilemma, that you have it dealt with now before it's too late. Turn to the Lord, call out to Him. But we see that this problem was actually recognized by Saul's servants here. They actually made a good diagnosis that it was a spiritual problem. There's a spiritual issue here. But as I said at the start, with a spiritual problem, you would expect a spiritual solution. But we don't see any sign of that coming here. It seems to be missing. There's no mention of them turning to prayer. There's no talk of them seeking God's help in this time. There's not even any mention of bringing the prophet Samuel for some guidance or some direction. Now look what they do in verse 16. They ask Saul if they can seek out a man who is skillful in playing the lyre. And when the harmful spirit from God is upon you, he will play it and you will be well. Isn't that quite typical of the world we live in today? Where people are ignorant to the spiritual problems in their life. Even though they maybe recognize that there's an issue, that there's something going on, there's something not right, their lives are in turmoil, they don't have that peace and contentment. They try to find it then in the wrong places, just like these servants of Saul did. They look for relief in music therapy, or retail therapy, or sports therapy, or binge on Netflix sort of therapy. And although these things might give you some escape for a short moment, these are not a real solution to a real problem. And maybe tonight you know that describes you. You're troubled, you're tormented by the sin in your life. There are things going on that are underlying, that are bringing so much trouble to you. But instead of turning to God and confessing your need of Him, you continue to try and numb the pain with any number of measures. You turn to all sorts of therapies looking for a way out. I urge you tonight to turn to the Lord for the way out, because that is the only way out of our spiritual problem. Call out to Him. He's the only one who can bring us out of that dilemma. And maybe you need to call on Him tonight. But as this story unfolds, it is incredible to see how God brings David closer to the throne. Ironically, the rejected one is now calling out for God's chosen king to help him in his problem here. And so as the focus now comes on David, I want to think about not a spiritual dilemma, but now a spiritual blessing. When a child has an interest in music, maybe you've got children at home or in the family who are really keen to learn some sort of musical instrument, or quite often they've started off on the piano, or maybe they get onto the guitar. But I don't hear of too many people learning how to play the harp or the lyre. It can be quite hard to find someone who teaches it or plays it well. It can be difficult to find someone like that. But Saul said to his servants in verse 17, "Provide for me a man who can play well, and bring him to me." Remarkably, one of the servants recommends this skillful son of Jesse. We're not told how he's heard about David or when he's actually even heard him play. But God is clearly moving here. In his providence, David's name has been brought to the fore and to the attention of Saul for the first time. And Saul likes what he hears. He sends messengers to Jesse to send me David, your son, who is with the sheep. Remember last week, if you were with us, we heard about how David didn't make the lineup before Samuel as he came to look for God's king. David was left out with the sheep because everyone else didn't think he was up to much or that he really would be worthwhile of even bringing. Yet David was God's choice as he looked at the heart, and he was anointed as God's chosen king. But maybe as you've thought about that, maybe you wondered what What happened to David after that? I know you may be thinking that surely Samuel would have taken him with him. He would have put him through some rigorous training. He would have got him ready for taking over from Saul. But it seems that David has just gone back to looking after the sheep. That nothing much has really changed in his life, or nothing different is going on with him. Or is it? Because look at the words now used by Saul's servant to describe David in verse 18. He is skillful in playing, a man of valor, a man of war, prudent in speech, a man of good presence, and the Lord is with him. This doesn't sound like someone who should have been left out of a lineup like we heard about last week. Surely this is a great description of someone who would be chosen to be a king. He would be an ideal candidate, you would think. So what has changed? Has David gone off and taken a few evening classes or brushed up on his work a wee bit and taken on a few extra skills? No. That's not what's going on here. The change in David's life is due to the fact that the Lord is with him and the Spirit of the Lord is on him. We'd seen that in verse 13. But there are crucial words that say, from that day forward, the Spirit was on him. It's these words that set David apart from Saul. Because you see, David wasn't only being equipped by the Spirit for some temporary measure or for some task in that moment. No, the Spirit of the Lord had saved David and continued with him from that day forward and all the days of his life. David had a genuine relationship with the Lord as he trusted in him as his shepherd who would lead him in paths of righteousness. Of course, David wasn't perfect, and we see that in due time as we hear about his life. But he was someone who was willing to repent of his sin. He sought the forgiveness of the Lord time and time again as he relied on him for all that he needed. And so as the Lord was with David by his Spirit, we see the fruit of that in his life being worked out. He was blessed with these gifts, these skills that God had given him, and he would use them for God's glory. And it's this list of gifts and skills that have been brought before Saul that are now being considered by him for a particular job. So often we have lists of skills mentioned in job descriptions. Maybe you're thinking of a job for a teacher. There are essential criteria like good communication skills, being able to work as part of a team. But sometimes there are also desirable criteria of maybe being able to play the piano. You know, that could actually be the difference between that person getting the job or not. And here we're told about David's skills, essential skills for someone who would be a king, really. His courage, his skill in war, his wise speech, his good presence. These would all contribute to him being a great king over Israel one day. But although Saul appreciated these things and maybe thought they were wonderful, he was only focused on having someone play well for him. And so it's the fact that David was able to play skillfully, which is so important out of this list here. Because it was this gift, this skillful playing, that brought him into the palace closer to the throne. And David did not waste this opportunity. It's incredible that he didn't say to his dad, Jesse, no, I don't think I'll bother going. I'm happy out with the sheep. I'll just stay there. Oh, sure, I'm not really good enough to play for the king anyway. That would be too much pressure. Sometimes we can be very quick to say no. We can be very quick to not use the gifts that God has given us to serve him. And so we need to trust God and know that by his Spirit he has equipped us and called us to use those gifts for his glory in the place and the task that he has called us to. I wonder, are we using our gifts? Are we willing to use them for God in his service? See, David was greatly used by God as a blessing to others. But his main task was to play the lyre at this point when this harmful spirit came on Saul. That was the reason that he had brought him. Verse 23 says that when David played it, that Saul was refreshed and was well, and the harmful spirit departed from him. And I was reading through this, and maybe you're thinking it too. You're wondering, why would God bring David to bring relief on this man, Saul? Sure, this torment, this harmful spirit was actually a judgment from God on Saul's life. Why would he be bringing relief to him then through David? Well, as I was thinking about this, one element is related to the fact that Saul is still king over Israel. Israel were still God's chosen people. He hadn't given up on his people. And so as David brought this calming influence, it actually was a blessing for Israel as a whole, because they weren't thrown into despair of having a leader, a king who could have gone off the rails at any point. See, that's an encouragement for how God can use Christians today in positions maybe within government or in a workplace where they have influence over others. It can be a real positive influence on even how decisions are made or what decisions are made. And that can have a great impact on many lives in our society. But another key element here was to do with God strategically bringing David to the place where he needed him to be. Because as David served and used his God-given gifts before Saul, it was recognized. And so often as we serve and do that well, people will sit up and take notice. They will admire those gifts and those qualities as you do it humbly and wholeheartedly for the Lord. And that was seen in David here, as verse 21 says, Saul loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, let David remain in my service, for he has found favor in my sight. Isn't it great to have done such a good job that people don't want to lose you? But we see that here with David. He'd become such a blessing for Saul and the palace that he couldn't do without him anymore. And so he brought David in almost like a son as he asked for Jesse's permission for him to stay. And he then gave him this position as armor bearer, a really close position to him, where he was in his presence regularly. God brought David to this place because here he would learn the ins and the outs of what it would be to be a king. He would see how he should, or maybe even more importantly, how he shouldn't lead God's people. God was using this to equip him, and he had brought him there for that purpose. Of course, it wasn't an easy place for David to be, and we'll see later in the book how dangerous it could be at times. But as the Lord was with him and the Spirit of the Lord was on him, he was a blessing to others, especially as he used those gifts in service of the Lord. See, David was God's Spirit-anointed king who brought blessing to a nation and to a man in a spiritual dilemma. It was clear that God was with David in everything that he did. As we think about this passage and what we've heard tonight, I wonder, are you in a spiritual dilemma? Maybe there's turmoil and a lack of peace in your life because you are continuing in sin. You're continuing to go against God and his ways. Like, no amount of music therapy or any other thing like that will sort that problem, because a spiritual problem needs a spiritual solution. We thank God that he provided that through the greater Spirit-anointed King, the Lord Jesus. As he began his ministry, he spoke words from Isaiah 61, which said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Jesus is not like an Alexa that might bring short-term relief in our lives through music or some other means like that. He is able to deliver and to set free those who are held captive by sin, those who are in a spiritual dilemma, Jesus can set you free. Because he brought about that victory at the cross, where he defeated the power of sin and darkness. And so all who believe in him, all who turn from their sin, can know that spiritual blessing, that new life that is only found in him. You can have that renewed heart, that renewed life tonight. Because not only was Jesus empowered by the Holy Spirit to accomplish that great work on Calvary, but as the risen King, he now pours out the Spirit of God into the lives of all who have received him by faith. What a wonderful thought that that Spirit is being poured out into the lives of those who believe. And by his Spirit, his people are equipped for the tasks that God has called us to. And so wherever God has placed you or me, may each of us who are followers of Christ, who are living for him, seek to use those gifts to God's glory. We saw that with David as he sought to honor God with the gifts that he had been given, as he sought to do God's will in all that he did. May you seek to know that, do that as you know the Spirit in your life, leading you and guiding you as you live for your Savior. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we realize that our lives, when they are in sin, when they are separated from you, when they are cut off from you, they are in turmoil. Lord, as we are opened up to many sins in our life, Lord, it brings torment and anguish and pain and suffering. Yet, Lord, we know that there is a solution, there is an answer, and that is found only in Jesus Christ, the Spirit-anointed King, the one who came to proclaim the good news, to set captives free. We thank you that he accomplished that great work through his death on the cross, as he took on our sin, as he bore that anguish in our place. But we thank you that as the risen, exalted King, he now reigns and rules over all. The power of sin and darkness has no longer a hold on those who are in Christ. Those who have received that new life through the Holy Spirit have this wonderful transformation, where we have this life that is beyond even what we can imagine. Lord, we pray that each one tonight who is in Christ would walk in the Spirit, that we would seek to put into practice the skills and gifts that you have given us to serve you in a way that is honoring and glorifying to you. And Lord, as we witness and live for you, may others see this good news of Christ. May they see that change in our lives as we continue to become more like him. So Lord, help us by your Spirit as we go into this week ahead, that we would glorify you in it all. In Jesus' name, amen.